Hi, and welcome to Karen's Educational Mashups. I'm Karen, and this show is a compilation of digital content of interest to educators. February is Black History Month, and today, in show number 19, we'll hear about some inspiring people and events from our history. You can also download a free curriculum unit on Black History Month from k12handhelds.com. This unit includes an interactive ebook, a virtual field trip, and more. Our website also has links for all the resources included in this mashup, as well as others you can explore. Many of these resources are downloadable and licensed to be shareable, making them a great resource to use with students to create their own multimedia projects to explore our history. Okay, let's get started.
Tell me what your name is.
My name is Fountain Hughes. I was born in Charlottesville, Virginia. My grandfather belonged to Thomas Jefferson. My grandfather was 115 years old when he died. And now I am 101 years old.
Who did you work for, Uncle Fountain, when...
Who did I work for?
Yeah.
You mean when I was a slave?
Yeah, when you were a slave, who did you work for?
Well, I belonged to Burness when I was a slave. My mother belonged to Burness. But we was all slave children, and soon after... When we found out that we were free, well, then we were bound out to different people, Ficklin, Andrews, and all such people as that, and we would run away and wouldn't stay with them. Well, then we'd just go and stay anywhere we could, lay out at night and anywhere. We had no home, you know. We just turned out like a lot of cattle. You know how to turn cattle out in the pasture? Well, after freedom, you know, colored people didn't have nothing.
My earliest serious poem to be published was a poem called The Negro Speaks of Rivers. I wrote this poem when I was 18, wrote it on a train going to Mexico just after I'd graduated from high school. My father lived in Mexico City. On the train, as we crossed the Mississippi River just outside St. Louis, sunset time, I saw this great muddy river flowing down toward the heart of the South, and I began to think about what it had meant to the Negro people in the past. How in slavery time to be sold down the Mississippi was, I'd heard, the worst thing that could happen to a slave, because if they sent you down into the rice fields, into the Delta, the hot regions around New Orleans, you might not live very long. And then I remembered reading that Abraham Lincoln, as a young man, had gone down the Mississippi. He'd seen the slave market in New Orleans, the buying and selling of human beings, and he never forgot it. It was Lincoln who, many years later, signed the Emancipation Proclamation that freed the black slaves. And so these thoughts went into this poem of mine that I wrote down on this train shortly after we'd gone across this river in the sunset. And from Mexico City, I sent the poem to a Negro magazine called The Crisis, the organ of the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People.
I've known rivers. I've known rivers ancient as the world and older than the flow of human blood in human veins. My soul has grown deep like the rivers. I bathed in the Euphrates when dawns were young. I built my hut near the Congo, and it lulled me to sleep. I looked upon the Nile and raised the pyramids above it. I heard the singing of the Mississippi when Abe Lincoln went down to New Orleans, and I've seen its muddy bosom turn all golden in the sunset. I've known rivers, ancient.
Rosa Lee Louise McCauley Parks, born 4th of February 1913, died 24th of October 2005. Was an African-American civil rights activist and seamstress whom the United States Congress dubbed the mother of the modern-day civil rights movement. Parks is famous for her refusal in 1955 to obey a bus driver's demand that she give up her bus seat to a white passenger. Her subsequent arrest and trial for this act of civil disobedience ignited the Montgomery bus boycott, one of the largest and most successful mass movements against racial segregation in history, and launched Martin Luther King Jr., one of the organizers of the boycott, to the forefront of the civil rights movement. Her role in American history earned her an iconic status in American culture, and her actions have left an enduring legacy for worldwide civil rights movements.
One day after finishing school, I was called to a little church down in Montgomery, Alabama. I started preaching there. Things were going well in that church. It was a marvelous experience. But one day, a year later, a lady by the name of Rosa Parks decided that she wasn't going to take it any longer. She stayed on a bus seat. You may not remember it because it's way back now, several years, but it was the beginning of a movement where 50,000 black men and women refused absolutely to ride the city buses, and we walked together for 381 days.
Yes, sir.
That's what we got to learn in the North.
Parents shared not only an improbable love, they shared an abiding faith in the possibilities of this nation. They would give me an African name, Barack, or Blessed, believing that in a tolerant America, your name is no barrier to success. They imagined me going to the best schools in the land, even though they weren't rich, because in a generous America, you don't have to be rich to achieve your potential. They're both passed away now. And yet I know that on this night, they look down on me with great pride. They stand here, and I stand here today, grateful for the diversity of my heritage, aware that my parents' dreams live on in my two precious daughters. I stand here knowing that my story is part of the larger American story, that I owe a debt to all of those who came before me, and that in no other country on earth is my story even possible. Tonight, we gather to affirm the greatness of our nation, not because of the height of our skyscrapers or the power of our military or the size of our economy. Our pride is based on a very simple premise, summed up in a declaration made over 200 years ago. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That is the true genius of America. A faith in simple dreams. An insistence on small miracles.
Thanks for listening to this episode. Special thanks to Mr. Kenny Rampton and his band for the opening music, and to Mr. Lawrence Watson for the music you're hearing right now. Thanks also to the Library of Congress, the Black Media Archive, Spoken Wikipedia, and Barack Obama. Don't forget to check our website, k12handhelds.com, to get more information about everything that's included here and where you can listen to more. See you in the next show.